Good morning. How good it is to be together on this Easter morning, a beautiful, beautiful day. As the sun rose in the park this morning, well over 200 people gathered on the hill to celebrate Easter, and what a good celebration it was. And now we continue that celebration here among you in this beautiful setting. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is always to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. If this happens to be the first time that you are worshiping among us here at St. John's, we invite you to take a moment to fill out the visitor card that is in the pew in front of you. And if you take a moment to fill that out when you leave this morning, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary with a little card on the front that says, "Please leave me here." And that way we can keep track of you and connect with you in the weeks to come. Also a note, several folks have called to our attention that if you grabbed a large print bulletin this morning, yes, we are aware that there's a missing hymn. I believe the first hymn does not appear in the large print bulletin, so you can always squint at the hymnal and look it up, or hum along. I suspect you'll recognize most of it. Also, a reminder from our search committee folks and those who are working on the transition in the midst of which we now find ourselves, there is a suggestion box out in the elevator lobby, sitting on the table there right under the big rainbow banner. If you have suggestions or questions for those who are on our transition team as an interim senior pastor is being sought and as a search process begins, please take a moment to fill out your questionnaire there, to put your questions in the box so that others may respond to them and get the answers you're looking for. Also, a special thanks to our deacons who arranged the beautiful lilies here in the sanctuary for Easter. If you donated a lily in memory or in honor of someone following worship today, please feel free to take the lily with you, share it with a friend, a neighbor, one of our homebound members. We want them to find good homes. And also, if you were looking through your bulletin this morning, you may have noticed there was a QR code. Yes, we really have moved into the 21st century. And yes, you may now do your giving to St. John's electronically. So if you're into those kinds of things, scan that QR code and it will give you directions as to how you might contribute without filling out an offering envelope or writing a check. And if you have questions about that, hunt down Grace Bruin. She can surely answer them. She's hiding in the choir, I think. All right. I believe that's all of the announcements for this morning. I invite you now to join with me in taking a deep and a slow breath as we breathe in the presence of our God here among us on this Easter Sunday. As we breathe in the beauty of this setting, as we reflect on all this day means and what it represents for us as followers of Christ, let go of the things that are weighing you down, at least for a bit, and let us join together in a spirit of joyous worship. Amen.
Thank you.
If I had to choose one word to describe this day we call Easter, I would choose the word joy. As I have pointed out many times over the years, joy is bigger than, better than, far more substantive and lasting than happiness. It makes its home at the very core of our being, and it is not impacted by circumstances around us. Even when things don't unfold the way we think they should or had hoped they would, when happiness eludes us because of loss or pain or disappointment, we can still hold on to the joy that comes from knowing that the very God who created us in the divine image and who has promised to never abandon or forsake us is right by our side. This is the God who raised Jesus from the dead, the God who gives us reason to celebrate on this Easter morning. This is the God who enables us to proclaim with hope and with conviction, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I also feel deep joy as I look around on this Easter morning and I see you, the wonderful motley crew I have had the privilege of serving for 42 years, the faithful folks who will always have a place in my heart. There is joy today because we never celebrate Easter alone. We celebrate in community, seeking to embody this joy we now feel so that we might carry it out into the world that desperately needs the joy only Christ can offer. May we sense the presence of the risen one as we gather now to worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession, which is printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Great living God, we gather on this Easter morning to celebrate once again the miracle of your Son's resurrection. It is hard to put into words what we feel, because what occurred on that first Easter morning defies our ability to comprehend. There are no rational explanations, no proofs that enable us to place this event in a neat little box. Not a one of us was there to see and touch the risen Christ, yet his presence among us today is unmistakably real. May we dare to believe what many consider unbelievable. May we dare to embrace the one who lived, died, and was raised to life again, so that we might experience life with a quality beyond compare. May we dare to allow the joy of this day to impact how we choose to live our lives from this day forward, ever aware of the presence of the Holy One in all that we say, do, and think. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Great joy also comes in knowing that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. God forgives us. God cleanses us from all that is not right or good. What a priceless gift. May we seize it. May we claim it in a way that changes the way we live. And may we share it freely with all whom we encounter along the way. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.
We hear now the story of Christ's resurrection from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Thank you.
Let us be together in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, on this beautiful Easter day, as we celebrate, we are here looking and listening for you, for the risen Christ among us. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. May your word be heard clearly in the midst of ours. Amen. It seems like it was just yesterday that we marked the beginning of the season of Lent, with ashes on our foreheads and communion shared. Yet here we are, and it's Easter morning. We've journeyed through 40 days of wilderness, several of us here at St. John's, by reading Rachel Held Evans's book entitled Wholehearted Faith, and then dialoguing together about it in the midst of the 5 weeks of our Lenten study. Rachel, whose upbringing in the church was conservative and evangelical, shares her struggle with Christianity, confessing that more than once she almost left the church altogether because what she had been taught as a child growing up no longer fit her, no longer felt right as she grew older. Thankfully, rather than abandoning her belief in Jesus, she chose to delve deeper into Scripture, searching its pages, immersing herself in its stories, and she chose to stay because of the many faithful yet very human women and men who showed up and said yes to Jesus, even when they had absolutely no idea what the future might hold or how they might deal with the challenges before them. Case in point, the women who early on Easter morning went to the tomb where Jesus had been hurriedly placed following his crucifixion on Good Friday. They were eager to properly anoint his body for burial, even though they were worried about the logistics, like, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Evans writes, "I am a Christian because as soon as the sun rose on that Sunday, they showed up at Jesus' tomb anyway, burial spices in hand. I am a Christian because of women who showed up. I am a Christian because of women who said yes."
Reverend Sue, as you were speaking, I was imagining myself as one of those spice girls, as we call them. I'd like to think I'd be one of the ones who said yes. Or would I have been one to say, "Wait, ladies, let's make a plan. Let's think this through. Who will roll the stone away? And what will we do if we can't? And for that matter, what will we do if we can? Will we have enough spices? I mean, it's been 3 days. Should we bring more just in case? How long will it take us to get there?" But the gospel isn't concerned with all those little details, is it? Scripture doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking about the logistics of the women making their way to the tomb, because I don't think they themselves did. I think, led by their love and genuine care for Christ, even in death, they gathered up what they instinctively knew they needed, and they headed on their way. They showed up, trusting that God would show them the way and would meet them when they got there. And since we know the end of the story, it's safe to say that God did indeed meet them there in ways they could never imagine, expect, or prepare for. I recently celebrated the life of an individual who was lovingly referred to by all who knew and loved her as a detail person. I know we've got detail people in our midst. As family members shared, it became clear to me that crossing T's and dotting I's, all of the attention to meticulous details, all the effort put into making things just right, was really how she loved them. But the plan was never more important than the purpose. That is the key and the challenge. To not ignore the details because they're important, but also not get lost in them. The purpose for the women on Easter morning was to carefully and ceremonially anoint the body of Christ, someone who they respected and followed and loved deeply. The stone was already rolled away when they got there, but I have a feeling that if it hadn't been, our scripture lesson today would have included three very determined women rolling up their sleeves, doing whatever it took to honor their Savior. In the end, the plan didn't matter because the purpose, Christ, mattered so very, very much.
If we've learned anything over the course of the last 2 years, navigating amid a global pandemic, hopefully we've learned that everything in life cannot be neatly scripted. Best laid plans go awry. There is so much over which we have little or no control. We must be willing to pivot if we're going to survive. We must be willing to change course, to embrace Plan B, or Plan C, or Plan D. The words of writer and philosopher Joseph Campbell often come to my mind. He wrote, "We must be willing to let go of the life we had planned in order to take hold of the one that is waiting for us." Being Christian and following Jesus requires a willingness on our part to trust that Jesus will not only show us the way, but will also provide us with what we need and what he calls us to do. More often than not, following Jesus requires us to step into the unknown without all the answers, without a carefully spelled out plan of action. I'm not talking about flying by the seat of our pants or rolling with the punches. It's more than that. It's about doing everything we can to prepare for what lies ahead, always trusting that when we come to the end of all the light we have, God will take our hand as we step out into the darkness, or God will teach us how to fly. More than once, you've heard me talk about the importance of living in such a way that we prepare so that we might be spontaneous. In other words, we live our lives in such a way that when the unexpected comes, we can shift gears without panicking and use what we already know, what we have already practiced, in order to navigate a new and a different landscape.
Some of you may be wondering why there are small rubber ducks on the communion table this morning. And that is because, as we've been talking, a common phrase has been coming to my mind: having our ducks in a row. How many of you have said that? I gotta get my ducks in a row. It's why I have those ducks on the communion table. Our young ones at our early service had great fun picking out which ones they wanted, and I'm going to invite our young ones at this service to do the same, or our young at heart. I don't want to go home with any ducks, so please come up and grab some. But I wonder how many of our little ones in particular know what that phrase means. If I say, "I have my ducks in a row," it means getting organized, having things in order, and being ready to go. The saying comes from real ducklings, of course, who walk behind in a line behind their parents, I suspect so that mom or dad duck can keep track of them, and so that the little ones know where they're going. I've used this phrase quite a few times over the past couple months, especially as we at St. John's attend to details, make arrangements, and create a plan for what lies ahead for our church community. Having all of our ducks in a row is important. It makes us feel prepared. It helps us to feel in control and safe and like we're ready for whatever comes our way. And those are all really good feelings. But I wonder, if sometimes we get too busy arranging our ducks, that we miss the journey God is taking us on? Or who is walking alongside of us on that journey? Or we forget who is leading us in the first place? All of that to say, we are called to follow God. It's easy as we follow, however, to become focused on making sure everything lines up. But when we do, we risk missing the wonder, the joy, the totally nonsensical, unbelievable, unfathomable awesomeness of this day, of our risen Savior, of this life of faith we have claimed. Is it easy to trust, to follow, to just go and figure it out when we get there, to set aside a bit of our control so that we can truly experience the awe that awaits us? No, it's not easy. And I suspect the women at the tomb would agree with me.
You're absolutely right, Addie. What we are talking about this morning is hard. There was nothing easy about what the Spice Girls did when they went to the tomb that morning. They had no idea what they would find when they got there. They had no idea not only about how the stone would be rolled away, but also how they would feel when they saw what was inside or when they found the tomb empty, Jesus' body nowhere to be found. Yet they were willing to cross that bridge when they got to it. Or as we say in my family, jump off that bridge when they got to it. Wholehearted faith is not about certainty. It is not about having all the answers. Returning once again to Rachel Held Evans's book, wholehearted faith looks decidedly different. One need not be perfect to embrace a wholehearted faith, but one must recognize the importance of being in community with others on this journey, recognizing we cannot be Christian alone. We cannot be Christian in isolation. The Spice Girls went to the tomb together. And upon learning that Jesus had been raised from the dead, were instructed to share the good news with the disciples. In order for them to go on with Jesus no longer physically present among them, they would need to risk all coming together to do the work of the church. They would need to figure out how to be in community with other flawed believers, all of whom were doing their best just to put one foot in front of the other and keep on keeping on. According to Rachel Held Evans, wholehearted faith means putting ourselves at risk of being hurt by the broken and complicated institution that is the church and its people. Wholehearted faith acknowledges that God is God and we are not. It asks hard questions and is motivated by our love for God rather than by a fear of God that if we do something wrong, we'll be punished. Wholehearted faith recognizes that God cares about the desires of our heart, even if our hearts are not perfect. It means coming to terms with the truth that God loves us, God adores us, and that will never, ever change, no matter what.
Okay, I promise this is my last comment about ducks, but I read a quote somewhere that said, if I waited until I had all my ducks in a row, I'd never cross the street. Sometimes you just have to gather up what you've got and make a run for it. Our prayer for this Easter day and for all the days that lie ahead is that we go, like the Spice Girls, like the disciples who saw with their own eyes and felt with their own hearts the truly unbelievable joy of this day, and make a run for it. Run to share the good news with the world by the way we speak, by the way we listen, by the way we live, by the way we too show up wholeheartedly.
We have our work cut out for us, but as always, we are reminded we do not do this work alone. God is with us on this journey, and with God's help, we will find a way, even when there seems to be no way. For now, let us claim this Sabbath day as a day of celebration, a day of rest, a day of grace upon grace upon grace. Christ is risen, risen indeed, and therein lies our hope, our strength, our joy.
Amen.
Please be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I'd like to lift up some joys and concerns that have been shared with us in our book throughout the week. Our joy is that Don Hunsinger celebrated his 84th birthday on April 13th. So happy birthday, belated birthday to Don. A few concerns to lift up. Carol Lors has asked for prayers for her cousin Cheryl, who is battling cancer and is currently hospitalized, so our prayers surround Cheryl. We also learned this morning that Joe Fair is in St. Luke's Hospital, as well as Don Atkiss, who is in Abington Lansdale Hospital. We also keep in our prayers this week Reverend Sue, who is anticipating surgery on Tuesday. Bearing in mind that each of us come to this place, even on a joyous day like Easter, with many joys and concerns on our hearts and minds, people we are praying for, situations that are taking up space in our hearts, I invite you to bring those to mind now as we become aware of them and as we lift them up to God together in prayer. God of fresh mornings and brand new days, God of the rising sun, God of darkness overcome, we are thankful and we rejoice with you. For empty tombs, we thank you. For the followers of yesterday and today, alarmed, amazed, in awe, who realize and proclaim the good news of your risen Son, we thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, we thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that threaten to defeat us. In the midst of family celebrations and Easter traditions, help us to pause, to attempt to grasp resurrection and the power of this day, to see its force, love, at work in our world every day, changing hatred within us and around us into forces of reconciliation and redemption, moving the world slowly but faithfully in the direction of peace, bending us toward love and truth. On this day of great gladness, empower us to be your disciples, to proclaim the good news. Proclaim in our homes and classrooms, proclaim in our offices and workshops, proclaim in the fields and factories. Help us to be that good news as we care gently for all people, living hopefully into your kingdom. Though today is a day of hope and joy, it is also a day where we recognize and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are walking with us. You are beside those who are sad, those who grieve, those who are struggling and are in need of healing and peace. We pray especially for Cheryl, for Joe, for Don and Sue, and ask that you surround each of them with your peace, with your presence, with your healing. We celebrate, O God, with Don, with all who are enjoying times of celebration, gathered family together, anniversaries, birthdays, milestones reached. Through good times and through the bad, we know you are present with us. That is the promise of this day. We take time now, O God, to pray silently, knowing that even when we do not say them out loud, you hear the prayers of our hearts. Hear our prayers, O God. It is easy to catch sight of your kingdom this day, this joyous day of Easter. Help us, O God, to carry this hope with us, to remain shining brightly when the darkness threatens to overwhelm. Continue to guide us to be on the lookout for new life and for your presence now and always. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As you arrived for worship this morning, you had an opportunity to place your offering in the plates by the doors. We pause now to dedicate these gifts to seek God's blessing and to sing words of doxology and praise as we offer them up. Join us in singing. Please be seated. As we come to that time in our worship when we will share communion together, we invite you to turn in your bulletin to the communion liturgy so that you will be ready to respond when we get to that point. Friends, this is indeed the joyful feast of the people of God. We have come from the north and the south, the east and the west, to gather around Christ's table, not our table. We are the guests. Christ is the host, inviting us to come and be fed in ways this world can never feed us, and for that we give thanks. We remember Jesus on Easter, journeying to a place called Emmaus, and we remember him encountering some followers along the way, how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Our prayer is that as we share communion today, we will recognize Christ and remember clearly the words he spoke to his disciples in an upper room when he gathered with them to share a Passover meal. As he did so, he took the bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it. As he shared it with them, he said, "This is my body, given for you. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me."
We remember also that in that same upper room, gathered around that same table, Christ took the cup. And after giving thanks for it and blessing it and before sharing it with those he loved, he said to them, "This is my blood, poured out for you. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me."
Before we join in the communion liturgy, we just want to make sure that everyone has communion elements. If you happen to come in and walk right by them, just raise a hand because we have hospitality team members keeping an eye out. Is there anyone who needs communion elements before we share this morning?
All right.
All right. Good job.
Nice. I invite you to follow along as we share in the liturgy together. The Lord be with you. Up with your hearts. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Only you are God. You created all things and called them good. You made us in your own image. Even when we rebelled against your love, you did not desert us. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant, and spoke to us through your prophets. Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body, for we all partake of one loaf. When we break the bread, it is not a means of sharing in the body of Christ. All is ready. Come, let us share together.
I invite you at this time to take your communion elements, the side up with the wafer, and to peel back the little covering at the top there so that you can get the wafer out from underneath. As we share this together, let me remind you, this is for us the body of Christ, broken, given freely, so that we might have life, so that we might be made whole. Remembering this, we take and eat.
As you turn that little cup over and gently peel back the foil containing the juice, I will remind you that although this is just a sip, it is for us the blood of Christ, a representation of just how abundant Christ's love is for us, life poured out that we might be filled with that same life. Remembering this, we take and drink.
Thank you. please join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks, O God, because in your own free gift of love, you have reached out to us. You have refreshed us at your table, touched our deepest needs, and called us to a life shared in memory and hope. Send us forth with courage and joy in the name of Jesus Christ, that we too may become bread and peace for one another and the world. Amen. As you prepare to go out into the world this day to share with them the good news, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. May it show in your face, may they hear it in your voice, may they see it in your actions, in your lives. As you go, may you be willing to take the risk of daring to do what is unfamiliar, uncertain, that is not clearly mapped out, knowing that God goes with you. And as you do, may the light of God surround you. May the love of God enfold you. May the power of God protect you and the peace of God sustain you now and always. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.